Hello, everybody. Welcome to Self Help Show. This is Gina, and I'm your host. Today, we have a special guest. His name is Zach. We are going to discuss everything ego-related, beyond the ego, and how to live a free and peaceful life. I'm just going to jump straight into asking Zach to introduce himself quickly so you can get to know him better. Over to you, Zach.
Well, thank you very much, Gina. Thank you for having me as well. It's a pleasure to be here engaging with you and your audience. So my name is Zach Russell. That's the label they gave me when I was born into this life, and I've stuck with it. It's useful. It's helpful. It's not who I am, but it is what it is, you know? So, I help people transcend the limiting beliefs of their egocentric mind. The stories, the narratives, the subjective interpretations of life that don't serve us, that often cause us great amounts of suffering, keep us trapped in the illusions of our mind, and really enable us to miss out on the phenomenon and the experience of this human life. So, I mean, in a nutshell, that's sort of what I do. That's what I help folks with. And yeah, here I am.
Okay, that's amazing. I actually like the topic of choice beyond the ego and living a free and peaceful life. I think it's very important for us to kind of tackle, first of all, the root, which is ego. Can you kind of give us a breakdown for, I'm sure everybody knows what ego is, but like give us like a, you know, a multifaceted breakdown of what it is.
Ooh, multifaceted egocentric mind. Yeah, I mean, the ego in its most simplistic terms is you. The ego is the pathology of the mind, in my sort of opinion and my experience. It's the pathology of the mind that comes online usually when we're 3 to 5 years old. It's from an arbitrary experience that we have where we feel not good enough, we feel abandoned, we feel unloved. The only innate feeling that a mammalian, a vertebra, a human has is the fear of abandonment. Whether it's baby bears or ducks or human beings, they have a mother who takes care of them, who fosters them, who keeps care of them as they grow and is designed to do such. And so the ego comes online when that need is not met. Like I said, usually from an arbitrary experience. And from there, we feel abandoned, not good enough, not loved. And because we're sentient, because we're human beings and we have the ability to think, we make that arbitrary experience about us. Mm-hmm. We make it about us, and then we do everything that we can to be perfect and loved so that we don't feel abandoned, so that we feel safe and secure. And then we live that way for 10, 20, 40, 60 years in the fallacy and the illusion of an ego, which is what you asked me what it was, and that is the construct of the mind, the ability to think and make life about oneself, the ability to have a self per se.
Okay, so in a way, ego is kind of, can it be trauma-based? Can it be generationally passed on? Is there such a thing, or it's something that uniquely comes about based on just who you are?
I mean, it's definitely traumatic in terms of its basis. The thing that's kind of interesting about trauma, right? I mean, trauma is a hot button topic today.
Yes.
But the idea of trauma, the thing about trauma is trauma doesn't exist either, right? There's actually no such thing objectively as trauma. Trauma is a story. And in all fairness, it's a very heavy, horrible story for many people of an objective experience that somebody interpreted within their own framework and their own story. So to answer your question, I mean, genetics and generational, I'm not too sure about that. It depends who you ask. For myself personally, I don't really see the value in even looking at that because hypothetically speaking, if it does have something to do with past genes, past lifetimes, family history, then you're kind of at the mercy of that because what are you going to do about that? How's that going to empower you or how's that going to serve you in your experience of life? So that kind of gives away your autonomy, in my opinion, which is really a lousy way to live. But is the ego real? Oh, absolutely it is. And the ego is unified and for everybody. There's nobody that gets away, in my experience, in my opinion, without the ego. Perhaps if you're a Tibetan monk raised in the mountains by a enlightened family who, again, takes care of you, doesn't yell at each other, doesn't cause the fight or flight mechanism in you as a child. Perhaps an ego wouldn't develop in that case. Perhaps just the idea of awareness would. I mean, it depends on how deep you want to go with this GM, but that's kind of the superficiality of it, if you will.
Right. And I like the fact that you brought up the awareness part. I feel like there's a very thin line between ego and awareness. And
yeah.
Could it be possible that ego, I mean, awareness can kind of become so big that it crosses the line and then becomes egoistic? Could there be such a thing?
Well, not really, no, because awareness and ego are two different things, right?
Yes.
Depending upon how you're speaking about that, of course. So, I mean, in my experience and what I'm suggesting is that ego is the thinking mind, the rumination mind.
Yes.
The fight or flight mechanism that keeps us stuck and trapped and shuts off our neocortex, our expansive brain, lights up or enables our amygdala, which is the little nut-shaped portion of your brain that's designed for fight or flight, to fight for your life or to run for your life.
Mm.
And when you're in that framework, when you're in that structure, when you're running from a tiger, it's not a really good idea to throw a cartwheel in, right?
Mm.
You kind of just want to get out of there as quickly as you can. So what my point to that is that your creativity is shut down. So there is no awareness in that fact because you're either fighting or running for your life. So awareness to me is outside of the constraints of the egocentric mind, outside of the hypervigilant maladaptive emotions that we live by. You know, we feel an emotion, which is just a meaningless sensation, and that gets stuck on and gets triggered. And then we make that our reality and we live by that for the majority of our lives. So that's not awareness. That's mm. ego. That's mm-hmm. stuck in the mind, you know, walking around all day talking to yourself,
mm.
trying to figure everything out, you know, trying to be good enough, projecting into the future that doesn't exist. You know, that someday, that one day.
Yeah.
When I get there, then I'll be okay. When this happens, then I'll be okay. Right? And so that's all ego. That's not awareness, because the awareness, if it were to look at those thoughts and constraints, would see that that's an illusion, because there's no such thing as the future. And you can never be good enough, no matter what you do. You'll never be good enough, because not good enough isn't real either.
True. Oof, Zach, you've really...
Well, you know...
You've kind of broken it down in such a unique way that I feel like it speaks to everybody, because I think in this society that we're living in now, which is, I feel like we have two types of lives now. We have our personal physical life, and then we have a digital life. And the digital life is almost dragging the personal life out of its nature into a more unrealistic way of living. And I feel like that is all being driven by ego, just as you said it, because, for example, we are posting on social media, we are making all these big plans, we are making all these announcements, but then at the end of the day, we are constantly living in the future and completely disregarding this present moment and completely we are completely unaware of how we are enough in this moment, how we are good, how, as much as yes, things are not somehow the way we want them to be, but the fact that you have what you have and you are where you are okay. So how do you help somebody come out of that cycle of just like next, and almost just like staying grounded and just becoming free of all of that?
Yeah, beautifully articulated. I would agree with you on that one for sure, that the majority of people do not live in the present moment. And I mean, we're not taught how to live in the present moment. And you're right. I mean, our digital lives and our physical lives, I mean, they're just a representation of the same thing. Mm. So the digital life just shines more of a light on the physical life that wasn't there before.
Mm.
We're still doing the same things we were doing 25 years ago, most of us. But now we can just personify it into this digital realm. Whereas before, it was perhaps just ruminating in our head as opposed to being put out to, you know, digital photos and posts and captions on a social media platform. You know, we're telling everybody about our goals or joining groups and forums, right? So, I mean, the only way to not have that experience is to let go of that story. Because everything that you just mentioned is a story, right? I mean, it depends on how deep you want to go with this, but everything in humanity is made up. There's the subjectivity and the objectivity, right? But I mean, objectively, the sun and the sky and the moon and the trees and you and I agree that we're here. And that's the objectivity of the story, is the subjectivity and the way that we decide to interpret it based on our beliefs and based on our programming. So the only way to experience awareness, presence, consciousness in the moment, which is objectively all we have, is right now, right? The past is an artifact of our mind, of a succession of events that happened that we label the past.
Yeah.
And then we project into the future of this someday future that will happen, which also doesn't exist. And both of those are recalled from right now.
Yeah.
So the only way to live peacefully present is in reality, which is right now. And the only way to do that is to first bring awareness. If we don't know that we're living a story, then there's nothing we can do about it, right? If your life seems to you, the story of your life and the way you interpret it seems to be reality, then what are you going to do about it? That's the way reality is. But as soon as we bring awareness to that, which is what we do in my coaching, then we can see. You know, we can see that you've been living through hypervigilant, maladaptive emotions most of your life. We can see the beliefs that you have that have been programmed into you. They're not yours. They were done by your parents, your guardians, teachers, priests, schools, political and social structures.
Television.
And you've adopted those. Yeah, 100%. 100%. You bought into that. You adopted that. You said, yeah, that's right. I'm going to go with that. And then you created a framework and a structure around that. And you're unaware of that. It's an unconscious bias in 99% of people. So once we bring that into awareness, then we can see it, right? And once we can see it, well, now we can let it go. Once
True.
We let it go, it's gone. And then we're free.
Let me give you one example. I grew up watching Cinderella and the Disney movies, and I'm all about princess treatment. So within that, obviously, that's been a construct that I have experienced, right? Does that now mean I kind of have to let that go and face the reality? Because I feel like in this day and age, to be honest, Zach, I don't know how old you are, right? I'm in my early 30s, and it's been really difficult and challenging for somebody like me to find like a partner or like a future husband, simply because social media has kind of ruined things for us, right? So how do you kind of, what's like your advice for somebody like me to say, okay, I grew up in the Disney era where we were watching Cinderella and, you know, the princesses and this. And in my mind, I kind of expect that. But then my reality is also not kind of matching that. How do I... Which one do I let go of?
You let go of everything. You let go of all of it, right? You know what they say, Gia, right? The expectation is the root of all suffering.
True.
So when we have expectation, not only that, but expectation is back to what I was talking to when we started this conversation. That's the ego, right? That's the self. So anytime we're looking at that, anytime we're telling stories about that, and that's a fantasy, right? A story of Cinderella, the princess, that was the one, the glass slipper? And the...
Yes.
Is that the right one? Yeah. I think I know the story then. Yeah, I mean, wow, what a story. The prince comes and rescues her from the hell of a life that she has. And he's magical and wonderful, and she lives happily ever after in the fairy tale, right? And so that's a story. Now, like, it's arguably an ideal story, maybe, but when it doesn't work out that way, it certainly doesn't feel ideal. And more importantly, even the most ideal story still takes us out of the experience of life, right? So I don't actually give advice because I think advice is useless. You're going to do what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. But the key is first, like I said, awareness. So if you're experiencing something in your life that's perturbing you or upsetting you, if you're lost in your mind and you're thinking all the time, it's to become aware of that. So good for you for having the awareness that, you know, that was kind of the way that you grew up and the thoughts that you had about it. And so the thing is you have to become the person that you want in order to attract the people that you want. Again, it depends on how deep you want to go with this, right? A lot of people talk about karma. They talk about all kinds of sort of esoteric kind of ideals and whatnot. But at the bottom line is your experience of life, what you give out is what you get back.
True.
So how you're being is what you're going to be experiencing. So if your experience of life is wanting, well, what does that mean? That means that you don't have, right? Mm. If you're wanting, it means you don't have the experience of having it. And wanting comes from a place of lack. And lack comes from a place of scarcity. So as long as we're in that framework, we can doctor it up and we can pretty it up as much as we want, but we're still in that confinement, you know? So the metaphor I like to use around that is you can be in a 10 by 10 jail cell and you can do everything that you want to make that jail cell beautiful. You could put candles out and soft music. You could put beautiful artwork on the wall. You could have 500 thread count sheets on the bed, but you're still locked in a 10 by 10 jail cell. So in answer to your question, without advice, the only way to get outside of that experience of life is to let it all go. The belief of that, the narrative and the story that you've created.
Okay, so what now? I let it go.
Yeah. What? Well, did you? Did you let it go? See, there's the thing, right? A lot of people, exactly, you didn't let it go, right? It's easy to say, but it's difficult to do in a lot of respects. And there's a reason for that. The ego gets validation, right? The ego likes to be a victim. The ego doesn't want to change. The ego doesn't want to die. No organism wants to die. That's why you see animals fight for food. That's why you see humans fight for survival, metaphorically speaking, in their own righteousness. So the only way to get rid of that is to actually let it go. So the issue is most people don't want to let it go. It's very, very challenging for the ego to let go. The methodology that I use for coaching, 9 out of 10 times when we get into it, everybody starts out great. It's very simple. It's not scary. It's a series of exercises and a protocol that we use where we make a declaration. We become aware. Once we're aware, we can see it. The mind expands. We have a declaration about our life and we just let go of a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very, 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 very challenging for 99% of the people to let it go because the ego doesn't want to. So,
I think, you are right that it's almost like, you know, you have to let go, but it's the only thing you're familiar with. So it's almost like, okay, what now? So if I let go of this, so what am I going to believe in? Or like, who am I going to be? For example, another one, I always like to give my own personal examples because I feel like when people listen, they can either relate or they can kind of mirror what that is in their own life. Example is, I personally went to school, and after school, I had to start working while I was in school, right? So that kind of created this hyper-independent woman. And for the past maybe 15 years, that's how it's always been. So because that's how I kind of program myself, it's almost difficult to allow somebody else to do anything for me. And I've kind of always found myself self-sabotaging, like, okay, can this person really do something for me? No ways. I would rather do it by myself. So fast forward, I had this ego death of realizing that as much as I believe I can do all of these things on my own, I cannot be an island. I have to live with the community. I have to have friends. I have to have partners. And within me realizing that and having this self-awareness, I noticed the ego dying. And whether it's going to die and stay dead or it will come back, I think it's almost like a management system that I can just check in with you. Like, is there kind of how you check in with yourself to make sure, like, okay, am I reacting in my ego or am I just being aware?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot there, right? So all of that started back in childhood, right? You said that you, when you're going through school, that you had to work. There was things that you had to do. Well, see, that's the thing. We tell ourselves, because that's another story, right? Mm-hmm. The reality is we don't actually have to do anything. You didn't have to go to school. You didn't have to work while you didn't do it. You didn't have to find a partner. You don't actually need anything, Gina. You only need food, water, and shelter. And that's it. Everything else on top of that is a story of what you need, which is the ego, right? And so the ego is tricky because even when we think we have an ego death, the ego just rebuilds itself stronger.
In a different form, right? I've noted that.
Yeah, 100% in a different form. Absolutely. It's adaptive.
Yeah.
It's sneaky and it's tricky.
It's
and
true.
It doesn't want to die and it's resourceful because it's you.
Yeah.
And when I say it's you, what I mean is it's the self, right? Like you hear self-improvement all the time, right? Self, like that's a fallacy. There's no such thing as self-improvement. Well, Zach, I'm going through this self-improvement journey. Well, no, you're not. How could you possibly improve the self? Well, you know, I'm going to school and I'm getting this and I'm figuring out my work thing and I'm moving on. Okay. So you're pursuing something in the physical realm, school, and you're mastering techniques so that you can do something in the world, right? That's not bettering the self. That's just mastering techniques in the physical world, whatever it is, right? Using your mind to figure stuff out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not self-improvement at all. And the ego, like you said, you know, you sort of felt like an ego death and you just sort of wonder how it comes back and how to differentiate. Well, the differentiation is all the ego. That's all back to the mind, right? Trying to figure it out. Trying to decide whether this is ego or whether this is not ego. Even the idea of just trying to decide is ego. Because consciousness doesn't need to decide if it has an ego or not because it doesn't have anything. It just has awareness. It just lives in the moment, right? And so that has to do with what I was speaking to when we started this conversation is the maladaptive hypervigilant emotions that get triggered when the ego first comes online. For most people, it's about 3 to 5 years of age. For narcissists, usually like grandiose narcissists, it's a little earlier, sometimes 1 to 3 years of age. And yeah, it's no joke. I mean, when we feel fear, like when the child at 3 years old hears mom and dad fighting, hears the guardian fighting, breaks the plastic figurine and gets yelled at, spills the milk, whatever it is, it's always arbitrary. But something happens in that moment. The parent yells, the guardian yells, things change, the energy in the room changes, whatever it may be, it's all similar. And then they make that feel, that child makes it about them because they feel that physical reaction. They feel the cortisol and adrenaline. They get the flutters in the heart. They get the elevated blood pressure. They can feel all of this, which the animal does too if it experiences that. But the difference is the animal can't think in its own sentient right. So because the child can think, we make that about us. And then you build those beliefs. And part of that belief structure is that you had to go to school in order to do this. You needed to do that in order to be a certain way. Whatever your programmer, your guardian, your parents, both, mainly your parents and guardians, because they're the first ones that program you. And then everybody else kind of adds to that as you go along. Yeah. They update the firmware and the software, if you will. Usually they add malware and viruses. They don't actually like upgrade it per se, but all of those things sort of get chalked on top of you, right? And then before you know it, you can only make decisions within the constraints of what you believe.
Right. So yeah. How can one live an ego-free life? Again, back to just like the topic, breaking free from the ego and just living a peaceful life.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can never get rid of the ego, right? Even the, that's why I kind of think it's a little disingenuous a way a lot of people who have perhaps education or followers or, you know, spiritual ideals in their head, like the ego death that you said. I mean, that's a hot button term, right? And there's actually no, like, I get the sentiment behind it, but it's a little bit misleading for a lot of folks because the idea that the ego can die is a misnomer. Like the ego is always there and the ego will try to adapt and rebuild itself always. But once we build a framework for that, outside of that, once we build present moment consciousness and awareness, and even saying that is a little bit tricky because we don't have to build it. It's always there. We just got to let go of a bunch of stuff that's in the way. You know, we got to clear the fog per se so that the sun can shine through. And then once that happens and we're in present moment awareness, well, now we can just live life aware. So we don't get triggered anymore. You know, we don't go unconscious when somebody makes some noises with their mouth. And then we get crazy in our own self because of these emotional stuck on responses. And then we get triggered and go unconscious into that fight or flight mechanism we were talking about earlier and say things that are detrimental or do things that are detrimental that we believe. So we have to become aware and we have to let go of all of that. And once we let go of all of it, it's gone, right? It's like the metaphor of carrying around a heavy sack of rocks and you're walking and you're walking and you're walking. And then as you're walking, you just put the rocks down. You just literally take the sack of rocks off of your back, put it down, and keep walking. And the further you keep walking, the further the rocks, the bag of rocks gets from you. And so that's kind of the metaphor for all of the structures that we hold on to.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Like we can let them all go right now. It's just that's challenging for a lot of people because the mind only allows us to see what it wants us to see.
And I was going to ask you,
that's the value of a coach.
I let go of everything. But then what's going to happen? I need to pay bills. I need to send money somewhere, take care of others. I need to do this. I need to do that. How does all of that fit into the equation of this reality that we have in front of us?
Yeah. Well, you see even that, right? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay your bills.
What?
Right? Yeah. You don't have to, right? When we come from a place of have to, need to, got to, should, those are all frameworks and scarcity mentalities, right? So yeah, okay, if you don't pay your bills, you know what happened? They cut your phone off and your internet. Eventually they'll kick you out of your house. You'll be homeless. You'll be living on the street. You know, maybe you'll be a vagrant and perhaps they'll still want you to pay some sort of fee for doing that. And what happens if you don't do that, right? Well, it is just what it is, right? So it's all about the framework and the reference point. When we feel like we have to do things, that comes back to that scarcity belief structure. So the fear-based mechanisms of the amygdala, the fight or flight response that we live by, once we get outside of that, once we're living outside of the amygdala, feeding our resources to the amygdala, well, now the neocortex lights up. And the neocortex is our creative brain, our expansive brain. The brain that is so powerful that you recreate a universe through your eyes. The human brain is unsurmountable, unexplainable, the power that it has, but it has to be turned on. If you go to use your laptop and you don't hit the power button, you're not going to get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
That's the metaphor of the neocortex of the brain. It's off because we're living in fear, walking around talking to ourselves. So once we stop talking to ourselves and metaphorically shut that computer or tablet or phone off, turn over here and light up the neocortex, well, now what we do is we can follow our love, we can follow our passion, we can follow our vocation creatively, expansively. We can add value to ourselves, to our friends and family, to humanity. And we don't need to be concerned with paying bills and things we need to do and have to and should and sending money to people and taking care of them, making sure that they're okay so that we feel okay, making sure that everything is as it is okay as it is so that we don't get triggered, so that we don't feel upset, so that we don't live in scarcity and fear. None of that is even a consideration. And so it just takes care of itself. And what do I mean, take care of itself? Well, now all of a sudden, that real love and passion that you had to create baskets or to shoot basketballs or to care for animals or whatever it is, whatever that thing is that your parents told you would never work or your guardian said, you're never going to be successful doing that. Or your teachers or your priests or your politicians said, not a chance, you can't do that. You got to get a job.
Yeah.
You got to be responsible. You got to be an adult. No, you have to work 40 hours a week at least, or you're not going to be okay. You're never going to have the life that you want if you don't do this, if you don't do that. All those things don't mean anything, and they're not even a consideration. And now you can dedicate your resources to that love that you have. And everything else, the bills, the sending the money, all those things, it either happens or it doesn't happen, but either way, it doesn't matter.
Okay, I get you. I get everything you're saying. But
okay.
I'm just thinking about the audience because I feel like we might have lost them somewhere, somehow.
What's this guy saying? Don't pay my bills?
You don't
this
want
guy's
me to
crazy.
you want me to lose my apartment? Like how?
You know what? I don't want anybody to do anything, but in a hypothetical scenario, perhaps losing that apartment is the best thing that ever happened to you. You feel like it might not be, but you don't know that. I mean, you have no idea. Perhaps it's been getting more and more expensive and you've had to take more hours on at work that you don't really like to pay it. This is a hypothetical situation, of course, scenario, of course. But perhaps you're doing more hours at work that you don't really want to do to pay for this apartment that you don't really need, to buy a bunch of stuff that you don't really like, to impress a bunch of people that you don't really want to. So what happens if it seems like it's all falling apart? What happens if you lose that apartment? Well, perhaps you get an apartment that's half the cost. Oh, but Zach, it's not in an area that I want to live. It's not this, it's not that. Oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, as you're walking to the street, you meet that man, you meet that woman, and you fall in love with your air quotes soulmate. And that all wouldn't have happened if you had stayed in that apartment and continued working that job. So my point is, we never know.
True.
We never know what life will bring us, right?
That's
and
so true.
Life is always rooting for you. Always rooting for you, Gina. It wants the best for you, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a lesson and a blessing all at the same time. So all of those thoughts about not losing the apartment, this guy's not telling me to pay my bills, those seem unrealistic to people. And they are unrealistic because the ego is thinking about that.
Yeah.
And the ego is terrified to lose its apartment.
The ego is like, what? Are you joking?
I can't lose my apartment. What do you mean? Of course I have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. It's tricky. Like you're not going to continue to live the reality of thinking that that's the way life is and have a different experience. It's just not going to happen.
Right. All right. I feel like, you know, we've been chatting about this, but now it's almost like 30 minutes. And usually I keep the episodes between 25 to like 35 minutes. So as we are wrapping up, I think this conversation was very, very intricate and good and also ringing a lot of bells, like wake up, wake up, wake up. So I hope whoever that's been listening, they get this message. So I just want to ask you, Zach, from your perspective or from your coaching and your teachings, is this part of a certain religion or certain beliefs? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the universe? Like, how do you kind of sum up all of this teaching? Where is it originating from? And after you say that, I'll ask you one more question and then we wrap up.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of difficult in a summation, right? So no, this is going to probably sound even crazier to you, but I don't believe in anything.
Okay.
Right? So belief is that, no. So I'm not reclusive to life, right? Let me explain briefly what I mean. Belief is poison to the human intelligence.
Mm.
And so what I mean by that is when we believe something, we stop inquiring. And there's no such thing as good or bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not good or bad. But if you don't inquire and you believe something, then you stay stuck in that framework. So you asked me about religion, right? So if I was to identify as a Buddhist, then I would never have a Christian experience. And if I was to identify as a Christian, then I would never have a Buddhist experience. And not only that, but if I identify as a construction worker or a teacher, or I identify as somebody who's righteous or somebody who's horrible, then I'm never going to have the opposite experience of that. I'm going to be stuck in that framework and I'm going to miss out on the expansiveness of life. I'm going to miss out on the possibilities of everything, right? Like everything's going to be impossible for me because of the way that I identify with things. But the cool thing about that word impossible is right in it, it says I'm possible. Impossible. I'm possible. So all we have to do, which is really simple, but most people don't want to do it, is we got to let go of those beliefs. You know, religion is the business of spirituality.
True.
It's been used and designed to indoctrinate people, to keep them afraid and complacent, to keep them donating their money to an organization, a corporation that doesn't care about them at all. And that's the same with our political and social structures as well.
True.
So this stuff's just not taught to people, and that's for a reason. I mean, people are powerful, and when they're afraid, they're easy to control. And when they're controllable, then they don't revolt. And then the narcissistic, psychopathic, sociopathic people who run this world keep their positions of power.
The first speaker, almost like a controversial speaker on the show, and I like that.
Wow. The things I'm saying are certainly not the norm, definitely, but they're true. You know, and they're important if we want humanity to continue and to thrive.
Absolutely. This platform is always open to like just discussing everything to do with self. And I think your perspective is very valid because at the end of the day, you realize that we have been lied to about so many things, and people are realizing that now. It's very heartbreaking for most people that are only realizing this maybe when they're like 60 or 70 years old. Because if you can have this realization and this awareness now, maybe in your 20s and your 30s, then it also enables you to make better decisions in life as you go, you know? So.
I mean, it can for sure. It's again, kind of what we talked to earlier. You can only make decisions within the framework and the beliefs that you have. So while I
Yes.
get your point, if you're 20 or you're 60, doesn't really matter. And the idea of the fact that it would be heartbreaking to see a 60-year-old, let's say, maybe waking up instead of at 20, I think what you meant by that sentiment is kind of a waste of time. Like all that
Yes.
time between 20 and 60 wasted, right?
That's what
Yeah.
I
So
meant.
I mean, yeah, for sure, right? And it makes sense. It makes sense. But so the idea of time in itself, too, is an illusion, Gina.
I know.
Like if you look at your watch, your clock, your phone, it's the only time it ever is right now.
I know, trust me, I know this very
Right
well.
now. Yeah.
Very
So
well.
it's not tragic, it's not sad, it's not a waste of time. I would say in that situation that it's beautiful that somebody who's 60 years old becomes conscious, lets go of the things that don't serve them, and then lives the remainder of their incarnation free. And even more wonderful for the 20-year-old who can find that peace and contentment too, because they just have just so much more expansiveness and so much more love and life to live, right? I mean, life is
Exactly.
a phenomenon. Like we can't explain this. It's unexplainable.
True.
So, I mean, in my experience, the more you can have that, the more fun and content you are.
Yeah, I agree with you. So there is this one thing that I do with all the guests. At the end of the show, after we finish discussing, I always ask you to tell us something about you that no one else knows. So this can be something that's funny, something that is sweet, or you know, whatever, something that happened in your whole entire existence, maybe when you're young, or anything. It can be anything.
Anything something that happened to me? I mean, there's been so many things, huh?
Something that happened to you or for you, but like
For you.
it's not like like nobody really knows about it, right? So it's only like you know about it. So it can be anything casual. Like for example, I picked up a book and it was this. So it can be anything really.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been so many things. Most of them seem sort of inconsequential. So really what comes to my mind initially is I suffered for a great portion of my life. I used to be a grandiose narcissist in terms of the structure and the beliefs, right? So there's no such thing as a narcissist, but the structure and the framework around it is an excessive interest in oneself, the grandiose, well, we all know what grandiose is, right? And so that used to be the way that I lived, and it caused me exponential amounts of suffering in my life. I never ever lived in the moment for many, 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 many years. And I suffered greatly as a child because I was very unhappy. And I always felt that there was something more. You know, I was always trying to escape myself and escape reality. And I always felt like that wasn't the way, like there was something else. And so the succession of events that most human beings would call the past was a process of me moving through that and theoretically failing. There's no such thing, but not getting what my ego wanted, getting what my ego wanted, being validated, not validated, all the sort of gamut of emotions running through. And coming to the place where I sort of embodied this methodology and this framework of letting go of the stories and becoming aware. And it's not so much, I guess, something that happened to me, because I mean, there's been all kinds of amazing, unexplainable experiences that have happened to me that would probably sound superficial at best. But I think the culmination of all those events to lead to the person who sits here with you today, sharing in this moment, in this conversation, I think probably that's what's happened to me to make me the human, the incarnate human that I am.
Amazing. Awesome. So where can people find you, Zach, if they want to follow you, if they want to check you out, what you're up to, what you're doing? You can just drop your handles and then, yeah.
Yeah, probably the best place to find me is just my Linktree, which is linktree.com/Zach Russell. If you go there, you can see podcasts I've been on. You can see my social media platforms. You can get information on my coaching services. There's some write-up and info there and the registration process. And you can contact me through there if you're feeling so inclined.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much for this. This was really, really cool. I really had a mind-boggling conversation with you.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, fantastic. So yeah, that's it, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. Do make sure you follow on social media Self Help Show, and also visit the website selfhelpshow.com for straight streaming of all the podcasts. And also share with your friends and somebody you know that wants to listen to this and just, you know, break free from the ego and live a peaceful, free life. Yeah.